Welcome, everyone. I'm pretty lucky this morning. I got a good friend and my lawyer on, Caitlin Fell. Welcome to the First Name Basis podcast, the remote edition. This is where we chat with guests in our network, and we chat about all sorts of things. We talk about tech, we talk about life, we talk about anything that is relevant of the day. But today we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that's really personal to me. Caitlin is a lawyer, a dear friend, and she has been working with Tribal Scale and us. We had a story of a great big boom and big growth, and people say, hey, you're growing too fast. And we grew pretty fast, really quick. And then we hit a huge hurdle. And my always advice to other entrepreneurs is, hey, I wish I found Caitlin earlier to help me restructure and come out of this, because you have been an amazing help. And so I'm lucky to have you on today and lucky to be working with you for the past year. And so we're going to get really deep today and share stories. But before we get started, I want to wish everybody a happy Passover, happy Easter. Caitlin, let's kick it off. You got a new firm. Tell us about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your history, how you are, who you are, and how you got here.
That's a very loaded question, Cheadle. So Cheadle, as you know, I'm an insolvency and restructuring lawyer. Yeah. So basically, I'm always dealing with distressed companies or companies that just have been having issues recently and need to deal with those issues. So I just started my own firm after being...
Big stat.
Yep. Yeah.
And bought a new house at the same time. Most people don't buy a new property when they're starting.
Very stressful. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So X Bay Street. Right. Yeah. Right? So X Bay Street law lawyer. So I was at Osler, Hoskin, Harcourt for about 6 years. Then kind of started to branch out on my own. And I'm lucky and fortunate to have started a law firm called Weiss Fell Coor with two other colleagues, Steve Weiss, who's formerly was a Bay Street lawyer at Blake's. Okay. And then also Sharon Coor, who's formerly a lawyer at McCarthy's. So we're kind of a big firm lawyers now at a boutique, law firm. And for us, we wanted to create a brand, and that brand was helping companies, on a day-to-day, real-time basis, not just with legal help, but intertwining legal and business, and really just playing an advisory role to our clients. Mm-hmm. So that was really our pitch at good prices.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't know about the price thing. I see your bills. I'm joking. You've been really reasonable, I will say that.
Value add right here.
So there's what made you want to go out and start your own firm? Like, what ended up happening? Can you talk freely about it?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Cheadle, you asked that question, and I think a lot of the inspiration has come from working with my own clients, like Tribal Scale. I see, entrepreneurs and startups creating their company, creating a brand. And I wanted to do that as well and not be constrained by any other particular brand that a law firm had already established. And, I think there's a great market for, advisory role for clients. And we just, I wanted to create something like you did with Tribal, which is, it's your baby, and it's nice to feel that way. And my clients mean a lot to me, and their concerns are my concerns at night. And I think that having that real close relationship with clients is something we wanted to encourage within our law firm. So that's we're establishing, and we're gonna
love it.
Love it.
And you started it in the middle, right before a pandemic.
COVID.
it's gonna be a cool, interesting, challenging time, and you're gonna come out with amazing stories, I'm sure, that you're gonna be able to teach others on how to navigate in such a world. And we're gonna talk about that right now too. So when people, you practice in insolvency law, that's such a scary word, right? Like, for a founder to think insolvency, that's a doomsday. I think of insolvency and I see the meme of those Ghana funeral guys who are dancing with the funeral
basket,
right? You're like, oh, I'm dead. But it's way more than that. And I always thought of it that way. And I always thought, oh God, if, you know, all the troubles I was going through in tribal skill when we grew too big too fast and we started having liquidity issues, and you start looking at your numbers and you're just like, no, I don't need to call Caitlin yet because I'm not dead yet. Like, you know, like you call the funeral director once someone's passed.
When someone's died, yes.
When someone's died, or you don't call them when you're like, you're taking them to the hospital, but your advice is completely different. It's like, hey, wait a second, start calling and engaging much earlier on.
Yes.
And I completely agree with that. Now I completely agree with that. I would have saved millions of dollars. No joke, guys, millions, if I got Caitlin involved a lot earlier. And so why don't we walk a little bit through, and feel free to share my story as well. Everybody to learn from my fuck-ups because I fuck up a lot. And so if I could save other people the time and hassle, that's beneficial. At least my fuck-up came in a way that's going to help others.
Others.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about when someone should be giving you a shout. What is it that you do that is able to help a founder and go from there?
No, you bring up an interesting point. And I remember when we started, engaging together, were the same. You were exactly that attitude. You're like, I don't need someone to revive me yet. We're not dead. We're still looking for money and all is not lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm here in part to give a different message, which is get us involved earlier rather than later. Because if you're already too far down in terms of being in distress, in terms of having cash flow concerns or other business issues, or you're not bringing in your accounts receivable, or you're losing clients, sure, we can get in at any point and we'll respond and we'll be nimble. But the earlier you get us involved, the more we can try to change the trajectory.
Yep.
So we can start working with your lenders, start working with your creditors. We can see what is exactly is going on with this company and why is it having the difficulties that it is. And that's very important. And so people do view us as kind of, the last resort. But mm-hmm. I would say, and you and I we speak now, I would say weekly and
almost daily, yeah.
And we've even got tribal scale to a very good point.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, you have little trips or falls or a company doesn't have issues that you want to call, pick up the phone and be like, okay, Caitlin, like, what do you think? And we can bounce ideas off. Mm-hmm. So the earlier I get involved, the more I can do to change a problem and to redirect it, and the more solutions we have available to us.
Well, I'll tell you, just to go into my own personal story, and I think talking about personal stories is probably where people are going to learn the most. Tribal Skill hit its liquidity issues, and we went offside with our bank, as you know. And being offside with the bank is a huge thing.
And then
it's stressful, and you go into these meetings, and the people around the table aren't happy to see you because they're there to really kick your ass. Like, what has happened here? And the second that we started engaging you guys and bringing you in, it almost seemed like the bank was like, okay, like they were kind of, they were a little happy that, hey, we're starting to get our act together, because you definitely helped not only shape up the legal side of the business, you actually positioned the company to have the right plan to come out of those issues and hold your creditors at bay. It's like, wait a second, I'm here, you talk to me from now on. Sheetal's gonna go and do all the things he needs to do on the business side, and you be that blocker. It's like, there's no such thing in football as an amazing running back without an awesome blocker, right?
Yeah.
And so you end up being that blocker who blocks and tackles for me while I'm able to run my business into the right path again. And getting you involved early, especially to hold off your creditors, have proper conversations of how you should restructure, what you can be doing when it comes to restructuring, was vital for us. And if no joke, guys, if we got Caitlin involved even 2 months before, I wouldn't have burned about $2.5 million. We were at a really high burn rate that was completely unsustainable. And once you got involved, that burn rate started becoming manageable, and we started making tough decisions and doing the right things and working with our bank to reach to favorable terms for both parties, I'll say. And that's been a great avenue. So for a founder, especially now during this pandemic, there's programs available, from the government. And I know every founder is reaching out to their accountants and trying to figure out what to do. I'm going to leave this to you to answer instead of me answering, but why should they reach out to Caitlin? What's Caitlin going to be able to do in this situation?
I think Sheetal, you aptly kind of are marketing me very well right now, which is you're exactly right that I become that CEO or that founder's shield. So no longer are they going to bombard you or Tribal Scale. They're going to come to me and they're not going to walk all over you. And I'm going to deal with those issues. And especially for Tribal Scale, what I needed to have happen is I needed you to go focus on what you do best, which is selling, which is getting customers and clients in. And I needed to be able to help you deal with any of, I would say the background noise, which is not to say that the background noise wasn't very
important.
Stressful.
Yeah, it was important. Exactly. It was stressful, yeah.
But your best, energy is focused on running the business. And for me, I needed to take over and help and put a shield in between you and your lender, put a shield in between you and your landlord and all your other creditors. And I think if you remember, we had to go through this process of, we had to go through all of your accounts payable.
Yeah.
And we had to go through each one. And it was like it was a very arduous process, if you remember, and say, you know what, Sheetal, you can't sustain that. You can't sustain this expense. Do you need it for the business? No, then eliminate it. And I think that, that was hard for you because I think that, as you said, Tribal Scale grew so fast. You were an amazing company within 3 years. And what startup does that very often? Mm-hmm. I would say not at all. But when a couple things started happening, what didn't happen is you didn't scale down. And that's what we realized kind of what was one of the big issues. We had to deal with that. And so
we as founders start ripping the band-aid off slowly. And that's not the right way to run your business. Cause as you start ripping the band-aid off slowly, you're just hemorrhaging. And then it's too late to go back. You can't go back in time and be like, oh, I should have done this. So having someone with your experience at the table definitely helps saying, okay, we're ripping the band-aid off now.
Yeah. So why get me involved? Well, I become the shield. Let me deal with those issues while you try to focus on the business itself and getting the customers or clients in or whatever your business is focused on. Secondly, I think, Tribal Scale was a great example. We knew we had a great company and I think I saw that. I saw that right off the bat, but we had to go through and identify what the concerns were. And as part of that, we need to really know the numbers. And I can't stress this enough, but having cash flow forecasts and a budget and understanding where the variances are coming from. And we had to, I think that we put that program really in quickly for you guys that we started to see, well, where is the money coming in? When is the money coming in and why isn't it coming in?
Right.
And we realized we changed your terms for customers and clients paying you. Mm-hmm. We realized that, your customers were not paying fast enough.
And so we had customers who were like 6 months.
Exactly.
And you're still working and everything is great. And here's a Fortune 1000 company and this little startup is bankrolling them. It made no sense. Yeah,
absolutely. No. So I think, part of what getting, someone like myself involved in is that we know the steps. I will be your shield, but also we're going to go through the basics. We're going to let's go through your cash flow forecast. Let's go through your accounts payable. Let's go through your budget and let's see where we need to be. And I think that's fundamental. And also I would say working with your lender, you're right. As soon as you have someone at the table that understands, restructuring, that understands, the strategy involved in that, I think, lenders do see sophistication and they I think when you got us involved, they said, okay, how do you want to proceed? And it's a consultative process with the banks and it's a give and take, and this is a strategy process and, they need you and you need them. And I think that's what everyone needs to realize is that, you know, no one does well if a company goes down.
Yeah.
No one.
Everybody's
not the founder, not the employees, not the banks. Yeah. And so the question is, how do we turn it
around? Not the ecosystem, nothing.
Yeah. No. So there's the goal is synonymous and everyone has the same goal. It's just, you know, different priorities come into play depending on where you are, you know, in the chain of being a stakeholder or the company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it depends on how you want to proceed. And you need to have that plan right up front.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, we started hitting our big speed bumps and roadblocks in January last year. And we didn't even get you involved until the summer. And yeah, it's crazy. I'll say like, stress wise for a founder, you feel like you're all alone. You know, you look around your table at the team that you put together, and very quickly you start to realize you actually are all alone. You know, people start fleeing away from you. They start running away from you. You're the corona patient.
You're the plague. Yeah.
You're the plague, right? Everybody's running away from you. And you're like, here's the people I trusted to be here with me. And they're all boom, 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 gone. And you're just kind of left holding this bag of shit, which you feel is shit, right? And you're just like, what is going on here? And this is not what I set out to do. And you feel really alone and you don't know who to go for help. And I'll say, like, mentally for me, knowing once you got involved and I started working with you, mentally for me, it was like, no, this is wrong. I'm thinking about this the wrong way. It's okay if everybody runs away, whatever. I figured it out earlier on in the days of how to do it. With your help and guidance, I got someone on my side right now who's going to help me out. So, you know, how much of counseling? Like, you counseled me. You were my shrink for a bit.
It's funny. I say that
I thank you for it because I'm still clients. Getting smiling.
No, but I think that's exactly how it works. Whatever is keeping you up at night is going to keep me up at night.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we would talk, you and I, at whatever time of the day or the night, you know, if something was bothering you or you were stressed, or even if I had to call you and be like, Sheetal, you need to get on this client and they need to pay. I was on the phone with you being like,
I don't care if you're in Dubai, I'm calling this client
exactly
at 2 o'clock in the morning and get them to pay.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I think that, again, that's bringing in that shield, so to speak, allows you to have someone to bounce ideas off. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we write the business? What can we do? How do we deal with these stakeholders and creditors? And, you know, that's why getting us involved earlier than later allows you to position yourself better in different circumstances. So, you know, you got us involved at the time you did. And, you know, Sheetal, I think we've done a great job with Tribal. You've done a great job with Tribal. Yeah, you've learned a ton.
You still kick my ass. It's not like you don't. You still call me and kick my ass. But,
you know, I think the lessons you can give, or we can give to other founders and CEOs, is instrumental, because you are a great testament, and Tribal Skills is a great testament to how something, you know, you were a great company, you had great revenue, and then, you know, you kind of crashed.
We nosedive.
You're going down fast. And so we had to really put measures in.
And it happened in such a short period of time. You asked me in 2018, that my year in 2019 would look like
$60 million in revenue.
You would never think, okay, here's a company that's done $60 million in 3 years, and then in 2019 is going to have these liquidity issues. We're going to have people issues that we had. There's a million and one issues that we had to go solve for, and every day presented a new challenge. But you would have never thought that, and so when you're in it, It's easy to look back now, for me to look back at the breadcrumbs and going, oh, I messed up there, I messed up here. And I know, so like, going with you now, and as I plan my forecast of where we're going to go in 2020 and beyond, or even how we're going to plan for this pandemic and what we're going to do, I feel so confident that the breadcrumbs I'm putting in front of me, because it's hard to predict the future, are the ones that are going to be down the right path. And so
And Sheetal, I would just interrupt and say that, you know, I'm a restructuring and insolvency lawyer, but yet we're together and talking a lot. So that's what I mean. You don't need to be dead or half dead or in a very bad place to engage, you know, someone like me. In fact, you should always, I think, be having someone that knows corporate restructuring, that knows kind of how to deal with business issues and legal issues at the same time. You should have them in your backpack all the time. Like, they're your ER. Yeah. Sometimes someone will go to the ER, not because they're going to die, but because they have small issues and hiccups. Well, yeah. You know, like, pick up the phone.
And the thing is, you prevent us from going to the ER, which is great. you prevented us from going into ICU. We were in ICU. You took us out.
You were in ICU. Yes.
We were in ICU, and you took us out. So I'm a founder. I'm having problems, liquidity issues. There's a stigma of going to an insolvency lawyer, a restructuring lawyer. There's also, how the hell am I going to pay for this other person? Now I can't. Like, I got my other financial issues. Talk a little bit. Like, that was one of my biggest fears was, I'm going to have yet another lawyer at the table and I can't even afford to pay my other lawyers. And I got this team that I can't even afford to pay. How am I going to add all this added stress to my balance sheet right now? I'm not ready for Caitlin.
Yeah.
I can speak a very different story now, but that was my thought process back then. And
yep.
Tell everyone what you said to me.
I wonder what I said at the time.
I'll lead you on. And you were like, sure, we're going to pay for ourselves.
That's actually a good statement I said. Are you crazy?
You're like, don't. She actually gave me a guarantee. She was like, don't pay my bill if you don't think I paid for myself.
Yeah, you know what? Because I think when we started to see the business issues and where they were coming from, we started to be able to put the solutions in place. And I think that started generating cash, which automatically then is not only can you pay my bills, but you can pay your bills. Yeah. That's the goal. And I think we streamlined a lot. We were able to say, okay, what advisors do you need? You need A, B, C, but you probably don't need D, E, F.
Right.
And I think that was important. So we cleaned up the balance sheet, and we're still cleaning up the balance sheet.
Yeah.
But
it's an ongoing process. And to be completely honest, I mean, as we come back up now, it's not like I'm going to be like, okay, Caitlin, I don't need you anymore. I still see you.
We have COVID. Yeah.
Well, even after COVID and say, you know, we go back to our heydays of like high growth. I think the high growth is going to be in tandem with someone like you to make sure we don't make mistakes to implode again.
Well, it's hedging on that risk, right? Like, how do you protect on the downside? And protecting on the downside is getting me and keeping someone like me involved. You know, and let's speak a little bit about, you know, we've spoken a bit about tribal and tribal's issues, but I think now that what companies might be seeing, and you know, your colleagues and founders, entrepreneurs, is exactly kind of what tribal went through because of COVID. Yeah. So they're gonna be seeing drops in cash flow, in revenue. They're gonna see clients and customers maybe not being able to pay their bills, your bills. They're gonna have.
We're having the biggest firms in the world come to us and say, hey,
everything's done.
We need 90-day payment terms. We need 120-day payment terms. Hey, we're pausing. We can't even pay your current bills. Like, pause the work, stop the work. And these are pretty well-funded companies, and they're doing that. And us small guys got to take the hit. Right?
Yep. And your landlord, you know, you're going to have a drop in revenue, and other companies are going to have a drop in revenue too. What are we going to do with rent? What are we going to do with employees? And the same principles in terms of what we did with tribal scale still are applicable here, which is, okay, what is your cash flow forecast? What is your budget? Okay, let's scale down on the revenue a lot. Let's presume a worst case scenario of what revenue you're bringing in. Mm-hmm. Make it zero. And then go through the process of, what do I need to pay that's critical to my business?
Yeah.
Okay. Right now, I would say for a lot of companies, rent is not going to be that. And, you know, if you can conserve cash, which cash is king in this day and age, I would say conserve cash. That's not to say that you won't have to pay your rent when you come back from this and, you know,
but
it's
a much easier phone call to your landlord when Caitlin's on the call and knows how to speak to them and understands what legally your rights are to be able to have that conversation. And it's actually landlords appreciate it, because I know our landlord loves talking. I mean, probably doesn't love talking to you, but at least appreciates talking to you, because hey, there's a path forward as opposed to going belly up and leaving the landlord stuck with a bunch of real estate that is going to be no good to them also.
Yeah, and if you remember, Sheila, when we kind of were going through, when Tribal Scale was going through that downward, we had to deal with the landlord, you know, similar to what most companies are going to be having to do now. And we had to say, look, we can't pay these arrears right now, but here's our plan and help us get there. And they were you know, I don't think they were happy, but they were.
They were sad. Yeah. I mean, I'm thankful to them. They were understanding. They became our partners in the business.
They did become partners in our business.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so I think that was critical. And so I would say for right now, you know, cash conservation, what are you doing to conserve cash? Get your forecast and your projections out. Figure out where you can save money. And so unfortunately, you know, Sheetal, you've had to make hard decisions before, and you're going to have to, even other companies will have to make them as well right now. And that is, okay, so your business is this big. Well, if your revenue is decreasing, you actually need to descale down.
Yep.
So that means, you know, potentially temporary layoffs. It means, again, only paying what is necessary and critical to the business. So it means not paying things that are not critical to the business. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when we come out, we can see after COVID or where, you know, in a month or two, let's see where we stand. What is our AP looking like? Do we need to do anything with respect to that AP? And, you know, most people view, you know, restructuring or insolvency type situation as scary or at the end of the world. In fact, you know, I know that there's that misconception, but there's so much we can do to help a company, to turn around a company, mm-hmm. whether that's like converting debt to equity so it cleans up the balance sheet, whether we can get rid of unprofitable, harmful contracts to the business that just don't make sense. There's so much we can do. And so, you know, the sky's the limit on strategy, on what we do. And our courts in Ontario or in Canada, you know, under the various statutes are great for getting companies to have that breathing room and space to be able to restructure and turn around. And so, you know, I would urge anyone that is having issues to not think that that is, you know, the worst, the necessary evil. No. In fact, I would say that get someone involved, get talking to a financial advisor, get talking to a restructuring lawyer and see, okay, how do I, where do I go? You know, we could do an informal workout. You could do something with the courts or, you know, we'll put a plan together. But the point is there's so many avenues and that takes away some of the stress for you.
That's just it. I mean, I go back, and it's a messed up headspace I go back into, but I go back to that time and it's like, you don't want to get out of bed in the morning. You just want to like crawl in a hole and be like, can the world's weight and problems just get off my shoulders? Just like, I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
And my, how life changes when you sit with, when you, all of a sudden you have a plan and you're like, all right, I could see where the end point is I need to get to. I need to do these 50 things to get there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to overwhelm myself. Caitlin's going to be like, you're doing these 5 things today. Go do them. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to do these 5 things tomorrow. Go do them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and in baby steps, you get all the way to this point where you're like, oh my God, I'm coming out of this.
Yes.
And you've learned so much that you never want to go back there again. So getting you involved is not only, it's good for your headspace because as an entrepreneur, you don't even know what options are available to you.
Think about what you're good at. You're good at selling and you're good at bringing clients
in. Building your digital products.
All these other issues.
Getting your team working. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I know for Travel Scale, one of the issues we had to deal with was employees potentially leaving. And we had to really kind of work with the amazing employees at Travel Scale to say, we have a plan, stick with us. Like, there is a great company here and, you know, trust us. And I think since we messaged early and really got that across, I think we were really able to deal with that issue.
I'll say this, shout out to my tribe because, you know, through this whole experience of COVID and having to work remotely, and they've just stepped up. I mean, are we a unit that's cohesive and all built on the mission of what we're going out to do? We're all on the same page, taking care of each other, got each other's back. And, you know, that wasn't like that when you came in. It was a toxic mess that started getting created at Tribal Scale. Because when a company goes through this stuff, you know, a lot of the cancer is from within also. Like, you start having these issues all over the place. And as a founder, you're like, I got to deal with the bank. I got to deal with the landlord. I got to deal with my accounts payable. I got to figure out how I could reach my clients. I got to figure out how I'm going to restructure my company. And then you got people issues on top of that. Start bubbling up. And in your good times, everybody's your friend. In your bad times, everyone wants to stab you in the back. And that's just reality. I say it like it is, obviously, but you know, it's good. But as a founder, you feel the weight of all of that, and knowing that you got Caitlin with you, like for me, knowing that I have Caitlin with me to help through this and help even, you know, you came and you chatted with our tribe and you talked to our tribe. And I see you're in my morning standups. I'm like, I got meetings with Caitlin today and they know who you are and they know what I'm doing and they see, and they actually are able to see the effects of what we're doing to make us, to make us come back on the right track. And I think that is also cool. You know, once a month at our town hall, I like to go out and tell everybody, here's the stuff that we worked on. And a lot of the stuff that we worked on is with your guidance, right? And is with your help. And it's good for them to be transparent in that moment, saying, hey, we're in a downturn, but we're all in this together. How are we going to come out of it? And being more transparent and doing that is, it obviously helps with people and culture. We had a question that I just noticed came up. You and I just jumped right into it. And the question was, what does it mean to be offside with the bank?
Oh, Sheila, you want to take that since you have, I can give the legal definition, obviously.
But I'll give the legal definition and then I'll give the.
Okay, you give the okay.
I'll give the raw definition.
So legal definition is pursuant to your credit agreement or lending agreement, whatever that agreement is with your bank, you are in breach of a covenant, whether it's like a ratio, having, you know, a certain amount of debt or having a certain amount of revenue come in. Or you know, it can be any covenant breach in a loan document. So that's what we mean offside. And Sheetal, you can kind of give your kind of definition or what happened with Tribal Scale in terms of
offside. I'll say what happened. So you know, we had our ratios with the bank and our operating line would move with how much our revenue was. And what happened? You know, we were doing a very large amount of revenue. We were doing close to $30 million in 2018, and so our ratio, our borrowing limit was much more higher. But as we hit the hurdle and, you know, we were concentrated on a couple of large clients, and when those clients weren't in engagements with us, boom, our revenue dropped. But now all of a sudden I'm offside with the bank because I have a larger amount of debt and lower revenue. And so now you're going to have a conversation with your bank as to how you're going to pay that delta back and get back onside. And you may not have an option at that moment. You may
no. And if you remember, I think it was.
And more often than not, I've noticed now that I've been talking to other founders who've gone through what I've gone through, this is actually just the beginning of your downward spiral.
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. Like, I think, you know, in the summer, Sheila, like we were, I think the bank was at their kind of height with us and Tribal Scale because our revenue was going down, but we still needed to make payroll. We still needed to make all those expenses. And so we were still borrowing. Tribal Scale was still borrowing down on the line. And so I think we were in discussions with the bank every day about what we were going to do and the importance of this company. And, you know, I think it was a bit of a quid pro quo. It was, you know, we had to stick hard with, you know, me protecting the company and you and demonstrating, you know, that you have a lot of leverage here, and that was still important, but it was also a consensual, we had to work with them. So, you know, it's getting that balance right. You can't have someone come in and, you know, tell your lenders off and tell them to take a hike because that's not going to work. But at the same time, you're not just going to be, you know, bowing down either. And so,
And we've done right by them. I mean, to share real tactical numbers.
100%.
To share real tactical numbers, I mean, we were never in our line of credit in the first 3 years at all. Like, I mean, a little bit. You would go in and come out. Yeah. And even in the beginning of 2019, we just went in a little. Yeah. And really quickly, over 3 months, a little became a lot. Like, mm-hmm. a lot. We went from $1 million in debt to $5 million in debt, like the first quarter of 2019. Yeah. And then I got Caitlin involved.
Well, you were in special loans.
Yeah, and I should have got Caitlin involved like January of 2019. Yeah. It would have saved me $4 million. I mean, $4 million is a lot. You know, Nick, we could be sitting in the south of France spraying bottles and stuff like that. But you know what I mean. I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, that's money that I feel like came right out of the hands and mouths of the people who worked with us.
Yeah. And, you know, I think
out of our tribe, like we worked hard to build that war chest and we blew it. And I'm proud to say now, you know, where I thought there's no way to pay this bank back. We've dropped that line. We paid back over $2 million already in less than a year.
But Sheetal, I think, you know, from where we started with special loans to now with your bank, we had to develop that trust. So we had to, I think they trust you now, and that trust wasn't there, obviously, when we came in.
Because you're like, why should I?
You're offside. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, you're playing with the bank's money, but we had to hold fast. We negotiated hard, but we also worked with the bank, and it's a balance. It's a balance. And I think you struck the right chord with them.
So, Caitlin, you don't come alone. You come with a team. Yes. Not only a team of lawyers that you work with, but you also come with a team of, I'll say, you know, outside help, which could be the likes of, hey, we work with Daryl, for example, at PwC.
Yeah.
PwC. We work with different tax accountants, like Manarchy's our tax accountant. Shout out to Rajiv over there. You even come in and like you start beating up on your tribal skin, not beating up on, maybe that's not the right word, but you come in and you really show where Tribal Skills' own accounting team is completely lacking and messing up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So talk a little bit about how you build a whole team in, and it's really cool to see that when you start working with creditors on the other side or the bank's lawyers, they already know you. So you guys just jump into it like, okay, here's what we're going to do as a blueprint to fix this. Mm-hmm. The bank feels better. You feel better. You know, you already know insolvency restructuring companies, consultants like BDO and Brad from BDO. You already worked with these people in the past. Mm-hmm. And so talk a little bit about how you work in the ecosystem that you bring to the table.
Yeah. So, you know, I think so legal is one part, obviously. And I like to think that we from our firm bring a legal and business side together. But what is also pivotal and necessary is the accounting side. And I think, you know, what one thing we were able to really recognize quickly was that Tribal Scale needed help on the financial side. I think when I came in, the CFO left. So there was really no one to build the numbers and to build the cash flows, which that is where you see where the issues are.
And the crazy part about that is where I realized everybody who's doing finance for me didn't know what they were doing. It was just like, what reports were they showing me? Like, we went through some of my old decks and the reports they used to show me, and you're like, this is not reality. What is this? What were they showing me? Like, what were they talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we work a lot with PwC. You know, those guys are great. The workout guys and restructuring, you know, BDO, all of them, FTI. So all these kind of companies also, they pair up with us in the sense that they help figure out from a financial standpoint where the cash flow projections are, where they should go. Where we can save. And so they're, you know, fundamental too. And you want to have a good accountant. You want to have that, you know, how many times are we on the phone with PwC? All the time. And so, it's really a team, and it's definitely, it's great to be able to bring in everywhere we need to be. And I think that's, it's fundamentally important when you're trying to deal with a company that's having cash flow issues.
And I'll say it again. I keep repeating this. I think it's a common theme on this podcast that we're filming. If even in my good days, if I knew you and the team that comes together, we wouldn't be here. Or let's say, you know, Tribal Skill, I go and start a new venture, and Tribal Skill is something that gets acquired for like at least $2 billion. But
at least.
And when I start my next one, I already know I would move so much faster and in the right direction because of the team that I got around me. Like the, you know, having you, well, I got my handpicked team that's working for me and is doing really well. But yourself and Daryl and Rajiv and everybody else who comes to the table, I think, you know, even my internal finance team with Mansoor and those guys, that, you know, and how they're helping us drive the company forward, you know, it's super important. And I would be off to the races a lot faster and not making the mistakes. I wouldn't be having to jump over hurdles all the time that trip me up.
So it looks like we have a question, Sheetal. And the question is, what are some mistakes that are made on financial projections that you made that other founders can avoid?
Oh, God.
Want me to take the first stab at that for you?
Yeah, I got a lot, but go ahead.
Okay, so financial projections. One, you need to be conservative on your revenue. Like, you know, if you hit the park and on bringing in X amount of revenue, that's great. But at least for the stage that we were dealing with Tribal Skill, we had to really have a good understanding of what was coming in. And that meant we need to be conservative. Second, and part of being conservative is understanding the timing of when that cash payment's coming in. And so that was being really religious. It wasn't enough to say, oh, we're going to close the sale of this part of the company, you know, in this month. No, you need to really have a good handle on that, because if your projections are off, that's part of the issue.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So you and then Sheil, how about you try and take
it? Yeah, I think being intimate with your numbers and knowing what each line item on that Excel sheet actually means is super important. You know, we got away from doing that and got into this.
I don't think you didn't have cash flow projections.
No, and we had, and if they were, they were like, they weren't being held a test to, right? Like, we had P&Ls and budgets set for every department, and when a department overspent,
nothing happened.
Right? Or when, you know, not only when a department overspent, if things were being signed for that were like, that shouldn't have been deals that never made sense. It shouldn't have ever happened. I think being super intimately close with every line item on your finances is important. I'm still learning. I mean, it's definitely been my Achilles heel in the company. I think there's two different types of CEOs, right? There's the ones that go out and be the champions for the company and set the vision and go hard. And then there's a bean counter type of CEO. And I think the ones that are super successful are the ones that are able to bring both of those together. And it's been my Achilles heel, but working with our team to really start to know intimately what every line item means has been super important. And then being able to ask for, you know, sitting with you guys and really figuring out, okay, this is what projections need to look like. And as you start going through those moments and figuring out every line item, now I know where every dollar is being spent. Like I start questioning everything. Hey, why? That's still an extra $2,000 that's being spent there. And I'm like, you know, famous answer back is always like, it's a rounding error or whatever. It's like, no, wait a second. What are you doing?
Yeah. It's too good. I think, you know, Sheila, we started having weekly cash flow meetings.
Yeah.
So we'd start to understand, okay, what's coming up in the next week or two? So we are going to get a payment from customer X. Well, if we already know customer X is beyond 30 days or 90 days. Like, you're going to be on it. We're going to start having you on it or your finance team about making sure that receivable comes in.
And it was different because before we were also getting shown slides and a story was being told. Mm-hmm. And that story, you know, you look at my leadership team at that point, 16 people, 17 people. And then if you look at the smaller leadership team at that point, it's still like 5-6 of us who would be looking in the finance meeting, and we're seeing slides, and then all of us are caught off guard when this was happening, right? Which is, I blame myself. I'm taking 100% of the blame for it because I wasn't intimate with those numbers. I should have questioned the crap out of everything that was coming, that I was being shown, because I'm going in and out, deep diving in on it. And I, you know, I played to my strength. Everybody, you know, you always play to your strength and you say, okay, you're going to go out there and do these 5 amazing things because that's what you love doing and that's what you're really good at. And leave somebody else to the other stuff. But the biggest thing you got to do is like follow your own money. I mean, I was responsible for our money and I let it go out the window. Mm-hmm. And being more capital efficient and bringing more productivity to our organization has to be, not besides the selling and everything else I love doing, but has to be number 1 or 2 on my radar at all, mm-hmm. at all given times.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's tough to say.
Good question.
It's tough to say, but I hope you guys are learning from my mistakes.
It's funny. Your mantra, and I saw this earlier, and I always liked it, which is fail fast.
Yeah.
And I think that's never a true word.
For me, it was fail big and fast.
Yeah. But I think it positions you to really have that experience to go forward.
It is my mantra, by the way. We got another question for you. Caitlin, how does a law firm go about finding clients? Does it work in the more traditional way or not? How do you find clients?
So
you're like a different kind of ambulance chaser lawyer.
Yeah. You know, I think for us, it's referral based. You know, I'm lucky to have a great clan of clients that trust me and, you know, they're regularly on calls with me and they're very good about telling their colleagues or friends about us. And I think that's key. But it's hustle. It's the same way, you know, any law firm, like how are you going to get clients? It's still, you know, I'm going to be honest. It's something I worry about every day. And like every entrepreneur startup, mm-hmm. where is your next client coming from? But you know, you put in the good work and you try to just put your head down and you hustle and you network and you try to build trust and good relationships. And you hope that, at least I'm still hoping that that's kind of the magic trick. But, you know, I think I asked you, Sheena, like, oh, you know, as soon as we started up, I said, oh gosh, you know, like, how do you know that next client's coming in the door? And you don't, but you get out there and.
Well, you know my theory on how I find clients. I always quote Biggie Smalls. I kick in the door, wave in the 4-4. That's how I
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, we were talking about it on my last podcast with George. You know, how do we go about getting clients? I go into every meeting knowing that if I was on the other side of that table, I'd sign the deal. So yeah. I'm doing you a favor by being there, which is a different mindset. It's like, hey, yeah. I'm coming in and I'm going to help you. And that's my mindset. So yeah, kick in the door, wave in the 4-4.
Another question. Why did I start my own law firm? That is actually a good question. So I did Bay Street Law.
It's not for the money, right?
No, not for the money. No.
No, I mean the money's a great.
Well, the money's there. But
is your lifestyle gonna super change by starting off your own?
You know what? It's funny because when we were in a big law firm, and I was in a big law firm, you know, it was great. I was on big, great files, and you know, I still hope to be on those big files. But I think right now it gives you the flexibility to pursue the clients and the work that you want to do. It also, you know, for me, it was a chance to make your own brand, and I think. For a law firm right now, I think boutiques are a great thing, and they can set you apart from the bigger law firms. And, you know, we can also play a role with those big law firms because we can get their conflict work. Mm-hmm. So I thought would be a good need for us to do that. And so we took the jump.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. I like it. All right. We are going to go into a little bit more of this COVID experience. Yeah. It's obviously, a lot of companies laying a lot of people off. Government's coming up and trying to fire its money cannon in whichever direction it wants to throw it in, depending on the day. Still a lot of uncertainty for a lot of companies out there. They don't qualify or will they qualify? And hey, they just talked about this program. I shouldn't let people go. What should a founder do when they don't know? And like you talked about forecasting. Is super important, but when you're so uncertain, how are you going to like read the tea leaves of where to go in the future? And like, what's your advice for them?
Yeah. You know, it's bringing it down to basics. Again, it's number one, you're going to conserve cash. So what expenses are you not paying? Number two, you need to understand kind of when that revenue is going to dry up and how long your cash burn is going to take you out till. If it's not going to take you out very far, you need to get someone like us involved because we can help. You know, there's lots of different statutes that you can file a company under to get protection. There's that. You know, work with your financial advisor.
Every 2 weeks was my doomsday. Every time payroll was coming, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die and the company's dead.
Yeah.
And then you came on and were like, no, it's not like that.
No. And so, you know, we can give you the breathing room if you're having trouble. And I think, you know, right now it's getting if you have a board of directors, getting them involved, keeping them apprised, understanding kind of where your employee base is at. You know, do you need to downsize and descale down? You know, think through those considerations. It's revised budgets, revised cash flows, stick to your cash flows. That is going to be your friend. And again, when I mentioned earlier, you're going to be conservative on your cash flows. You're going to assume like zero to no revenue. If that's what your business is closed right now, start marking it out. What expenses are your bare minimum necessary expenses that you need to pay to keep the business going from a critical perspective? And everything else we will deal with after.
Cool. We got another question. It was, besides the cash flow, what else should they be concerned about as COVID extends
longer? You know, I think it's understanding, so your business. So, you know, Sheetal, you have a services business, so you need it. Your employees are at home, but more importantly, it's the clients that you're servicing may not be able to pay. And so it's reducing your expenditures. You might have to reduce your headcount for a temporary basis. I think for, you know, like a tech company, that's probably the most, one of the most important things right now. And it's riding it out. I think we're going to be in this for a long haul. I think you got to get on it with your accountant to try and take advantage of anything that's being offered. Mm-hmm. And
there's a ton being offered. It's hard to navigate. It's hard to navigate which programs you qualify for and which ones you should be applying for.
But you got the 75. We got the 75% subsidy.
Well, yeah, because COVID hit us hard. Yeah, we definitely got it. Yeah.
Yep. So it's I think it's understanding with your accountant and your lawyer what can you not pay right now. That's gonna, cash is king. Conserve your cash, and then you take advantage of any government programs, loans. BDC right now is offering like guarantees with government-backed guarantees. Yeah,
it's 80% guaranteed by the government.
Exactly. Take advantage of it.
I know this podcast is global, but we're talking specifically Canada.
It's right Canada, now. Yeah. So take advantage of it. And, you know, I think using all of those three tools, anyone can ride it out. And if you're feeling that, you know, those tools are not available for you, or you know, you're too cash strapped and you can't even pay what's absolutely necessary, pick up the phone and call a restructuring lawyer, because we can help. There's many statutes that we can put a file the company into, whether it's like what's called the company.
Talk a little bit about the BIA process. I just saw Chris Dunley jumped on. Look, we got our PwC jumping on here too. What's up, Chris?
talk
a little bit about what does that mean.
So like, there's a BIA
statute and like all that stuff goes boom right over anybody's
acronyms. Yes. Yeah, so like, you've got
talk about what happens. How could you restructure if you want to clean your balance sheet? You go into the courts. What do you mean you're going to a court? What is that for? Does that mean you're dead?
No.
Talk about how you restructure a company and come out on the other.
Yeah, so you know what, there's multiple ways to restructure a company, but let's go through, you know, a scenario. So first of all, there's two main kind of, I would say, acts that a company can utilize, and that's called the Bankruptcy and Insolvency Act. Scary act, I know.
Yeah, you say that word and founders go, I don't want to go in there.
I know. Or you have the Companies Creditors Arrangement Act, which is an act for I would say, larger companies or where there's debt over $5 million, which, you know, is not even that much for, you know, a lot of companies. But if we file a company under any of those statutes, depending on the route, it gives what's called a stay of proceedings. So that means that it's going to stop your creditors from going after you. And it's going to give the company time to figure out what kind of restructuring is needed. Is it an operational restructuring? Do they need to downsize? Do you need to get rid of bad contracts? Do you need to clean up the balance sheet by, you know, getting some debt off the balance sheet and, you know, converting it to equity? Do you need to find another investor? Like bring in an investor that's going to bring in new money and take a, you know, an equity interest. Yeah. Or, you know what, is this company ripe for a pre-acquisition sale? I know one of the things we've always thought about is we knew this company would be good for potentially an acquirer. How do you make the company?
How do you make a bunch of quarters? Like
exactly,
like the list goes on and on and on of companies.
So the question is, how do you make the company look valuable and be valuable enough to be acquired? And that is cleaning up the balance sheet, which these acts allow us to do. So you can, you know, get sold to an acquirer, and but the acquirer wouldn't take on the liabilities. And so that's how we make
time about that. Talk a little bit about that. Like, okay, so. Here come, why, like, if you're a founder, you're like, my company's about to go under. Why would somebody want to acquire me? They're not going to want to carry this debt, so on and so forth. Talk a little bit about what you just said. I think that's super important for founders to understand. There is a path forward.
Where
an acquirer could take all the good assets.
All the good assets, leave all of the liabilities behind. And so, you know, you might have great people, great IP, great technology, great manufacturing. There could be great assets of a company, but the liabilities are too high. And so, you know, what you can do is run a bit of an investment or sale process. And is there an investor willing to come in? Is there an acquirer that's wanting to come in and just buy the good assets? And there's still so much to offer with that company, and allow it to continue either by being acquired or just finding an investor. So I think, you know, people always think that these acts are doomsday. Well, doomsday. They're not. They don't have to be. And now they are. There's a lot of companies that, you know, whether their technology is old, they can't sustain themselves, and, you know, it may not be able to continue. But for many companies that just have problems that can be fixed, for instance, is it a management problem? Is it an operational problem? Fix the problem and you fix the company, and there's still value there. And so for any acquirer that's looking for a debtor, you know, there's great value in being able to acquire assets with no liabilities.
Yeah.
You're basically getting all the good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, so it's important for founders, that I got to reiterate this. It's important for founders to understand that you built something that has a lot of value and asset. And a lot of times, if you ask founders when they're going through trouble, it's not about them, it's about their people. They're like, hey, what can we do for our people? And if you work with someone like yourself and you go through this Insolvency Act measure, and if there is an acquisition or an investor of the company, then number one thing that I noticed is that your people will be safe and your people are okay. They're not going to feel this major impact of what's going on. It's actually more legal stuff that happens in the background. Their day-to-day doesn't change as much, right? Mm-hmm. And it's better than going under if you go through some of these legalities that are available to you, or these avenues that are available to you, so that you can actually save your people and your people have a good home. And it's better than them looking for jobs because you never had the wherewithal to give a call to someone like yourself early enough. Yeah.
Or, you know, if you can get in early enough, but you have a lot of debt, like, you know, there's cash, if there's cash flow there or revenue, you can do a plan to your creditors that says, you know what, we'll give you A, but you need to compromise all your debt. We need to emerge with a clean balance sheet. And, you know, I would say more times than not, you know, creditors, especially with tech companies, something is better than nothing, because with tech, as we know, you're not dealing with tangible assets like a manufacturing company. Your lenders can't just come in and enforce on you and be able to get recovery there. It's not the same. So I think there's a lot of leverage there. And I think that you can, you know, implement processes to clean up the company and get good value, or work with your creditors to cleanse the liabilities and get a plan approved, and utilizing those acts as positive acts that you can change, utilize and get change from, rather than viewing it as, you know, you're going into the ground at a funeral.
Yeah, because that's all you see at that given point. You don't even know that there's options available to you and how, what those avenues look like, right? You say it all the time. You say, Cheeto, there's a million ways to skin a cat. We got a lot of different options in front of us. And depending on the climate and what we're doing right now, we're going to figure out what's going to be the best one for us.
And I think even you've been surprised about all the things that we could do to turn tribal around, and whether it was like trying to find another investor and or an acquirer, and it's really marketing these investors or potential acquirers on the basis that, look, buy the assets clean, vest out the liabilities, get rid of the liabilities, buy the assets clean, and like there's a lot more value there than you think. And so it's really understanding all the options that are available to you.
And the coolest thing for me about going through this was like, hey, Cheeto, there's opportunity in the chaos. How could you double down your efforts to actually turn this company around and come out the other end where it's going to be good for you and your tribe, right? Like there's a bunch of stuff that, as we explore the avenues of how we've been able to pay down our debt from that crazy high $5.5 million number down to where it is now, and, you know, getting more into a more sustainable growth mode, I almost feel re-energized. It's, hey, this is tribal 2.0, like, you know, where even at times where as a founder you question yourself and you're like, I'm out to die, I'm going out to pasture, like this is over. To come back now where I am now, I got this new burst of energy and I'm like, hey, we know where we're going now and we're gonna go about doing it the right way. It's really important for you to have that team around you and that knowledge around you, because it's impossible for founders to know everything of what you could do structurally, legally, insolvency act, all that stuff. You have no idea about these things, and it really helps having you on board. And I know we had a question there.
And similar, you know, we're talking from a debtor perspective, like from a company perspective, but similarly, like all you tech investors out there, same thing. Like there could be great avenues and opportunities to get involved with like great tech companies.
That's a great point. If you got extra cash and you're an investor, connecting with someone like you presents a ton of opportunities because you become a deal funnel.
Exactly. So, you know, lots of tech companies could go through, you know, a restructuring to clean up the balance sheet. And there's opportunities out there for people to get involved and for investors to, you know, be able to take some clean assets.
Okay. I know we've gone over an hour here, but Caitlin, let's recap. What are like three things? Give people three things that they should do to come out of this COVID pandemic as your revenues are hurt, your employee morale's down, you're still struggling to figure out work from home, your clients are pausing work. Mm-hmm. What are three things that that company should be doing right now?
Yeah. So one, pick up your phone. Like get your financial advisor and make sure you have a good financial advisor, but get your restructuring lawyer, your restructuring advisors going. If you don't have one, you know, call Sheetal. He can give you some names, including myself.
Call me.
You know what? Like we do free calls all the time. Like you want to bounce something off. But the point is like get to people that know how to deal with your problems and can help you and can help alleviate your stress. Number one. Number two, cash conserve. Cash is king right now. So that means
cash like, rules everything around
you. You're going to look at your AR, your accounts receivable. What can you bring in? You should be talking to all of your customers and clients about, can they pay now? Get them on a payment plan. Like this, it's not good enough potentially just to pay zero. Mm-hmm. Try and work out an arrangement with them. Mm-hmm. You know, Sheetal, we've done that a couple times with clients, with tribal skills clients, and that's okay.
You know, and then it's even on the account receivable side, like going to your customer and being like, take the 15% discount, but you're paying me tomorrow.
Exactly. Right?
Like instead of you having to go factor your receivables and all that other stuff, like just pay me now. I need it.
Exactly.
Cut a deal.
Third, get your expenses in line and drop those expenses. You're only paying what is truly critical to the business. And Sheetal, you and I went through this process and I think your idea of what was absolutely critical to the business was a lot bigger than what was my absolutely critical for tribal skill at that point in time. And so you have to
be. And there's a healthy balance there. You understood some stuff that you didn't understand as to why it was critical.
But be aggressive on that. Try to understand exactly what, if you don't pay for something, is it going to really alter your business in the next 2-3 months? And if it's not, don't pay that expense, get rid of it. And if you have, you know, if you're getting pushback from that company's lawyers or, you know, again, call a restructuring guy, lawyer to help you kind of navigate those issues. Again, we can do payment plans. We can, you know, there's core options later on, filing options. Or you know, there's informal workouts where you can kind of agree to pay someone over time, you know, later on. So, you know, try to get deferrals on rent. Try to work with your bank to pay lower interest or, you know,
zero interest
and or to stop payments or defer payments right now. There's so many things you can do. I know the stress is there, but, you know, I think that there are many things you can do. You just got to take the steps and it's incremental.
Awesome. Thanks, Caitlin. Yeah, this has been fun.
It's fun. Yeah.
I'm going to end up calling you later on this afternoon to talk about our next phase of stuff that we got to do this week. That's the other cool thing about Caitlin too. She's going to hate me saying this, but I destroy her weekends and she'll probably.
Yeah, it's true. But I'm always available. I'm always available to my clients.
Yeah, you are. I'll say that. I mean, we probably talk. We actually do. We do talk a lot more non-business hours because business hours are...
You're working.
by your work day, and and Caitlin always steps up no matter what time it is for everything else. Awesome. This has been cool.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Let's do this again. And I'm sure we're going to have founders who come on with a lot more questions.
And if there's any questions you get after, you know, we can get back to people. So anyone that still wants to submit a question, even on a confidential basis, or Sheetal, you have my number.
Yeah. If somebody messages me, if you message me and you don't want to tell me about your business, but you just want a referral or whatever it is, by all means. I mean, I'm pretty confidential anyway when it comes to founders and their problems, but more than happy to make the intros to anybody on my team that you guys feel fit, that you guys think you may need. Having said that, this has been fun. I've been actually like doing this remote podcast. I got another one coming on Tuesday. I'm going to give a shameless plug to our own podcast. We got Farhan Thower from the VP of Engineering at Shopify.
That's great.
He's been my ride or die for so long, and I know to many people he's effing awesome. But we're going to be talking about on Tuesday to stay awake. Again, I don't want this podcast to be all about COVID and all doom and gloom, but Farhan and I are actually going to be talking about when we've been fired or let go or laid off personally, and what we did to bounce back in our careers when that's happened, as many people are being furloughed and let go right now. So we'll share our own personal stories, and we'll get deep again on Tuesday. Again, you can find this podcast. We're going to edit it and make it all nice. I don't know how you're going to fix my mug, but I'll leave it up to my team to try to do that. But you can catch this podcast on Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Apple iTunes, everywhere. And so subscribe to the podcast, have a listen. I promise it'll always be raw. You'll learn a lot. And we'll go from there. Caitlin, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
For coming on. I love the conversation. We got really real, and it was I'm hoping that at least a couple of people have listened to us and know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to be able to take those baby steps to get in the right direction. So thanks for helping us out personally, and thanks for helping out the community. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys. Nice seeing everyone.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Signing off.
Happy Easter.